Alrighty. So, as you can hear, I'm on the road again, and I do apologize if this is distracting, if this is noisy, or if this is a pain in the ass for you. But I got another banger of a podcast, and I'm on my way to meet somebody, and I just don't have a lot of time on Saturdays, so I had to take advantage and record the podcast on the road. This podcast, I talk about capitalism. I talk about a guy named Hotep Jesus. Super interesting stuff. You should follow him. You should watch his interview on Joe Rogan. I also talk about the importance of getting good at something, being above average, which I took from another guy on Twitter, but which I think we all kind of know. So, buckle up, mofos. Prepare for a good episode. Okay, let's get into it, shall we? First, I want to discuss the idea of capitalism and Hotep Jesus, Hotep Nation. First off, have you guys heard of Hotep Jesus? He is a very interesting fellow. He is what they would call nowadays a person of color, or he's black. I guess person of color is anybody who's not white. Not a big fan of the term myself. I think a lot of people are not a fan of the term, but it has caught on. Now, he is part of what they call the Hotep movement, which is, I guess, a new kind of black awakening movement. I know that doesn't really sound all that informative. It's about black empowerment, but it's not about, like, civil rights. It's about more like knowing the rights you have, financial empowerment, entrepreneurship, anti-socialism. It's actually, I think it's really cool because it's constructive. It's not a destructive type of movement. And so I don't know. I think it's really, really cool. They're very much about supporting the education of black people for, you know, creating businesses and getting their finances together and improving family relationships and all that stuff. It's really positive, really positive. It's not just like an anti-white person movement. And, you know, maybe I'm partial to that because I am white, so I don't like to see the anti-white sentiment. But, you know, especially because, you know, I didn't have a choice what color I was born, so... Yeah, that's just how it is. Anyway, back to the point. He brought up the idea. He was on a guy named Michael Malice's podcast. Michael Malice is a commentator. He has a lot of knowledge about North Korea. I like Michael Malice. That being said, I don't know why he knows so much about North Korea or why he cares so much about North Korea. While I think North Korea is interesting, I just don't see them as nearly as big of an interest as, like, China, right? Like, I could understand people diving deep, deep, deep into China, like, about the history, the government, the people, the culture. But with North Korea, it's like they're actually pretty insignificant because they're propped up by China. They're propped up by China and Russia. And without those two, I mean, they wouldn't even really exist. So... I just find it hard to really get into the history of Korea, mostly because of its small significance. Now, that being said, it was a really good interview. And Hotep Jesus brought up, and by the way, he was on Joe Rogan's show. What he brought up was a really interesting point, which was that we should stop calling capitalism capitalism. And him and Michael Malice both said that Marx is the one that came up with that term capitalism, which I thought was interesting. And I didn't look into the claim myself. I probably should have before jumping on this pod. But what I thought was interesting about the concept is that I intuited that years ago. And here's what I mean. And this isn't for a bragging thing. This is to show how much sense it actually makes. Capitalism, what we call capitalism, which is actually about, you know, free, it's just about freedom. It's just about free trade of goods. That's essentially what capitalism is about. But what Hotep Jesus made a good point was that is what we consider capitalism, maybe not modern, you know, corporatist bullshit, but like in the essence of free trade and doing, you know, getting paid for your labor and your production and all that stuff based on, you know, supply and demand, more of the Adam Smith type of stuff, that is default. That's default human nature. And I thought that that was really interesting because I agree that it is default human nature. In fact, I think if you go back into the history of any civilization, it all, don't get me wrong, there's, it's funny because I wasn't going to talk about Taleb today, but Taleb stuff kind of comes up, is that at a large scale, there is always trade, right? Like trade is what brings like nations, empires to all different parts of the world. And you always hear about like different trading zones in different time periods of the world. Like you hear about the markets, you hear about the bazaars, you hear about the early trading and artisans in China, stuff like that. And so as somebody who's very fascinated with history, I have I've done a lot of reading about, you know, European development, and I've read about Chinese development and all kinds of stuff. And one thing that is always very obvious is that most of the pioneering and the advancements and and here's the other thing, all of the wealth of a nation comes from trade, and it doesn't come from state-sponsored trade, right? It's not like the government says, you know, think about it. Without surveillance technology, the government, yeah, they can bring the hammer down on you, they can force you to follow laws, but how much control can they really have, you know, before the age of digital, you know, digital tracking and everything? Yeah, you could have people on the ground, but it basically, without being an expert in this area, from the amateur reading that I've done and understanding that I have, trade has been an important part of human civilization and growth forever. Now, people might look at small tribes and be like, oh, but small tribes were socialist, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, like I said, this goes into the more the localism argument, or the stratified way that human civilizations are created. You know, like at a small level, at a home level, at a small village level, like a Native American village, you can be more communist in your home. You can be more socialist in your friend group or your village. But as you start to get bigger and create bigger and bigger networks, you have to allow more freedom of movement. And so naturally what comes of that is trade, right? People, you know, I'm good at making this, you're good at making that, let's trade. Now, whether or not money is involved is, I don't even think that's necessarily required to have a market economy. But people have been developing currencies for trading, like shells and fabrics and things like that for, you know, millennia. And so trade has always been integral for human civilization, human flourishing and advancement. And I really liked that Hotep Jesus brought that point up, that he was like, look, this is the default. Like, humans trade by default. And I think that that is 100% accurate. And it should, you know, I guess the reason the point stuck with me is because as at this age where we're currently always fighting about socialism and capitalism and this, that, and the other, it's like, look, go with, you know, not that we can't change human nature. I get that we have the ability to change our environments. I understand that. And we can change our behaviors. But instead of changing our behaviors to be destructive, let's work with what we've already got. We are already inclined to trade with each other, to trade different expertise, to trade information, to trade goods, services, all of that. So let's work with that, right? Like, instead of always fighting to steal everyone else's shit from somebody else via socialism, like, let's fight to make a better trading system, right? Let's fight to make a better system for us to trade under, for us to engage in the free flow of capital and information and services and goods, right? I mean, that's what I think everybody really wants, you know? So that's my take on that. Anyway, Hotep Jesus is a very interesting guy. You should follow him on Twitter. And if you haven't seen his interview with Joe Rogan, you should check that out too. And remember, trade. It's the default. And do some research, and I think you'll find that I'm pretty accurate on that. But maybe not. But I would be willing to take your criticisms or suggestions at tayradio1@gmail.com. So let's take a break for some sponsors or a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, here we are back again. Now, I want to switch to another topic, and that is going to be something I read from Ed Lattimore. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He is a former boxer, and he says a lot of... he's a former boxer. I think he's... if you read his Twitter bio, he brags that he has a BA in physics or something, which, I mean, that's cool, but I'm more impressed with him being a boxer. And he's also a speaker. He's kind of a motivational type. And he puts out some really good stuff, some interesting stuff, some good stuff, some neat stuff. And one thing he said the other day, which I've maybe touched on before, but I think is super important, is that everybody should be good at something. Like, everybody should have at least one thing that they're above average at. And the question is, why? Why is that important? Well, I'll tell you. So he mentioned that it gives you confidence, and that's really what it's about. So for me, I can tell you right now, growing up in, you know, I'm a small guy, so you guys have never seen me, most likely, unless you've really done some hardcore research. But I'm a small guy. I weigh like 150 pounds. I'm like 5'6" on a good day. My frame is more on the thin side. And so growing up, I was never like a big dude. I didn't just get confidence from being big. And I was never necessarily the smartest, though as I got older, some of my intellectual pursuits did put me in that realm of being smart, what people would call. But it was, you know, more history stuff. Now, here's the situation, guys. One thing that gave me a lot of confidence when I was in high school was Taekwondo. And it wasn't necessarily the ability to fight in itself, which was important at the time, but it was also just the fact that I was really good at it. And that it gives you, it transferred into a lot of things in my life. So because I got good at Taekwondo and I got good at adapting to also weird kind of life and familial situations, I became somewhat, I would say maybe addicted, but just very comfortable with going into situations with incomplete information or going into situations that are more chaotic without being 100% prepared. Now, that being said, I always trained and prepared for Taekwondo tournaments. But when you are in a sport like martial arts, you know, a fighting, you know, combat sport, or any kind of sport, really, there's an element, the big element is uncertainty, unpredictability. You don't know how your opponent is going to act or react. And so no matter how you've trained, you have to always, when you go into the ring, when you step onto the field, you always have to accept that that you're walking into an unpredictable situation where somebody's going to do something that you don't anticipate. So that is life. Now, dealing with those situations at an above average level in martial arts gave me the confidence to really take that into other areas of life. For example, I started doing speech and debate. And the thing about speech and debate was, I remember, you know, public speaking makes people very nervous. It makes me nervous to this day, especially because I don't practice it a lot. But the thing about public speaking is I remember being like, oh, dude, okay, if I can travel across the world and step into the ring with somebody who wants to kick me in the head, who if they can, they would knock me out, I can talk in front of a bunch of people. This is no problem. And then I took that same confidence to other areas of my life. Like whenever I would, you know, like when I went to college, I was very much a loner. And part of that confidence came from life experience. And part of that life experience was martial arts, some Taekwondo. But it was also speech and debate, right? So it things compounded. where it was like, oh, wow, I can genuinely, like, I can just do things. I can just, if I want to do something, I can just do it. And a lot of that confidence came from my success in Taekwondo. And also, so that was a big driver. Now, that also possibly was a big factor in me going to China. China was a life changer for me. Once again, it puts me in an out of average, in a different, a standard deviation away from the average. Many people do not go to China. Many people will never go to China. What's more, many people will never learn Mandarin. Of all the languages people are learning, a lot of people are not trying to learn Mandarin. So the fact that now I've picked up several skills that I have been above average at. Now, when it comes to people learning Mandarin, am I above average? Maybe not. But most people in America can't speak Mandarin. So that's something, right? Most people in America speak Spanish. But basically what I'm getting at is that I've picked up along the way habits, skills, or just fun things to do that I am, compared to the rest of the population, above average at. And I can tell you that it really does give you confidence. But it doesn't just give you a fake egoistic confidence, right? A confidence where you're like, oh, I'm better than this person or I'm better than that person. It gives you a confidence in your abilities to learn and excel as well. That's really what it did for me. Was that like, it was like, oh, wow, I can get really good at Taekwondo. And then it was like, oh, well, what else can I get good at? Oh, shit, I can get really good at speaking. I can get really good at learning a language. I can get really good at dancing. It's like you start to understand that when you get above average at one thing, not only does it give you confidence to operate in the world because there's something you're good at, which is important, especially for men. I don't know about women, but I do know for men, you need to be good at something. It just really, really helps your confidence. But beyond just a basic, I have something I'm good at, which is good to talk about and to know, it also was, oh, I have something I'm good at, which means that I could probably get good at more things. That was actually legitimately my thought process. I can get good at more shit. So I did. And I am. And so I would say that this is a valuable piece of advice for anybody out there. You know somebody who's maybe struggling with their identity. They're a young man, young woman. Tell them to start. And that's another thing is, don't give up shit, man. Like, give up stuff, yeah, when you really hate it. But, like, if you are pursuing something of interest, basketball, sports, whatever, get good. Get good at it, man. Get above average. And then translate that into something else and just keep growing and learning. Don't just learn new things continuously but never, ever learn anything about them. You don't have to be a master at everything you do, but it would be good to have a proficiency in many different things. So that's what I got to say today. I hope everybody has a wonderful Saturday. Once again, I apologize for the road noise, but this is just how it is, guys. You know, this is life. So you can email me at tayradio1, T-A-Y-R-A-D-I-O, the number 1, at gmail.com. And you can follow me Twitter, tstutch1, Periscope, tstutch1. I do live broadcasts every weekday. That's it, guys. Thank you, and everybody have a blessed day.